Warning, we are a spoilers podcast. At times, we are also an offensive podcast. And we are most certainly a verbally explicit podcast. So if you fear for any of your delicate sensibilities, please back up now before you reach the point of no return. All right, pussies, this is your final warning.
Welcome to another episode of Cinematic Anarchy. And today, we're welcoming back Mr. Omar.
Left of him, we change much.
Well, we haven't seen you in a little while, sir, and I'm kind of interested to see how you and Viking here work together. And of course, also we have Thomas the Viking.
Hi, everybody.
And today we are. Oh, you know what? I just realized we're talking about the Warriors. We're going to have no female input whatsoever for this particular podcast.
That's perfect.
So we are actually
going to be there wasn't really a whole lot of estrogen to that movie, especially because it was made at the time it was made. They were stupid with that.
Well, it was
mostly testosterone in that bitch.
It was like 99.99% testosterone, except for like those very few scenes with the one woman
and the radio announcer.
Okay, not for nothing.
That was questionable.
How did these guys, when they announced their name, the female gang announced their name as the Lizzies, how did they not get that? How did they not understand that what was going on was, yeah, nope, just turn around, leave now. There's nothing here for you.
The Lizzies.
So, this is a fantastic cult favorite film that was based off a book by Saul Urich of the same name, which was based off of The Odyssey. So, a lot to unpack here. Hopefully we'll be able to get into it. You guys are very, very quiet.
I'm listening. I'm just paying attention.
You were talking, sir.
Exactly. For once, we're letting you get your information out.
Oh. We only like savages, but we have manners.
And what happens
exactly.
What happens if I'm talking out of my ass and I just stop mid-sentence, like, you guys got something? Please help.
That's a you problem.
I guess that is a me problem. Okay. So let's just let's start at the top. Let's start with the meeting of the gangs. Cyrus.
Now, that was fucking amazing, just seeing all of them there. Like, showing how many. Well, let's be honest. The New York police force that they had, the NYPD, at the time, it would not have had the numbers to deal with that many gangs in one sitting.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's probably why the police knew. The police probably knew about the meeting. They just probably was like, yeah, we ain't going there. Fuck that.
So basically, that wasn't the entire setup either. It was supposed to be 9 delegates from each gang. And you had some really interesting looking gangs. You had a gang of mimes, which.
I fucking hate mimes.
The Baseball Furies. I don't think the mimes had a. Did they have an actual name? Were they just the mimes? Did anybody catch the jacket at all?
I don't think anybody gave a shit. No. Really.
I mean, the mimes, you get into a fight with them and they just kind of, their weaponry is just imagery, you know.
What are they going to do? Put you in an imaginary box? And beat you up with an imaginary bat?
Oh, possibly that rope that they, you know, whip you with a rope.
Strangle you with the rope.
You get air strangled.
Fucking idiots. That's probably their whole biggest thing. Is like anyone who goes up against them just fucking absolutely annihilates them because they just absolutely rip them apart with just sayings like, what are you going to do? Strangle me with your imaginary rope? And shit like that. And they probably just get really disconcerted as well. Fuck this shit, man. Why did we pick choosing mimes?
Yes. We're going to. They can't say anything. I mean, there's no trash talking. Trash miming.
There is trash talking. It's just one-sided.
Can you trash mime? Can you mime trash talking?
I don't think so. Yeah, probably.
You know, that's, nobody can see what I was doing there. We're just sitting here making, we're just.
And basically that'll be it. Some fist signal, probably some cut your throat signal, and that'll be that.
See, this would be the benefit of the visual medium right here, because we're both just miming to each other. Just making fists, cutthroat, you know. You can't see
these,
that.
These older gentlemen.
Via audio. Yeah, you're not participating, sir. You're just kind of sitting there.
No, looking at because us like, you know, the way you two were just doing that then, you're like the embarrassing dads at a family wedding that I'm just like, I don't know these people.
You hurt me. You hurt me, sir. You hurt me.
It's true, though.
So the speech.
I'm gonna laugh if somehow we get comments on the Facebook page and just be like, "Yeah, Chris, do be like that awkward dad." I will fucking laugh.
The speech that Cyrus made makes me feel like any average person should feel right now when dealing with major corporations just around the world, not just in America in general, but around the world. And I'm gonna quote. The problem in the past has been with the man turning us against one another. We've been unable to see the truth because we have been fighting for 10 square feet of ground, our turf, our little piece of turf.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? And that's exactly how, you know, politics and corporations work right now. They don't want us to see that. You know, we should be earning more than we are. We should be getting a larger slice of the pie than we are right now.
That's why they don't want us sticking together as people.
So what they do is they use politics and they use the media, like, really,
pandemics,
to just sort of pit us against each other.
The first two weapons of the corporate world. Again, to keep the people controlled with patriotism and religion.
Right.
And then when that fails, they use a global pandemic.
My dad always said that religious is like a sedative for the poor. You know, they keep you obedient and compliant, and then patriotism is a little cocky.
That doesn't fit into society's view on religion. So I could be religious and still say fuck the government. It's brilliant.
Exactly. No, but that's the thing. Religion is basically like a sedative to keep you controlled and compliant, and then patriotism is the coffee they give you when they need you to get up and fight for their interests. That's basically what it is.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's a very good point.
There are countries that there are things happening right now that the USA doesn't invade them because they need democracy, but they do. But why they don't invade them? Because there's nothing that the rich people want over there. That's it.
That's fair enough.
My still view on America in the nicest way is still y'all would be better off if you didn't try and kick us out.
And I feel
that's a possibility. You kick us out, you'd be 10 times better. You'd have free healthcare. You know, there'd be less homeless. It'd be a brilliant society that you'd have. But no, he's like, no, we don't want your way of living. We want to fuck it up ourselves.
I remember going to Britain in the 90s. I went a few times, mainly to party. I didn't go to no touristy things. I went to the clubs and the pubs. I was young. It was the 90s.
No, see, fun fact. That is the tourist part of the UK.
I loved it, and I go 100 times. If I had the money, I moved to there. And I remember seeing, like, for being, especially London, for being so quote-unquote dangerous, you don't see none of the poverty that you see out here. And you had some violent characters out there, but you don't see that much poverty, like...
Oh, no, London specifically, if you're in London, you will never see poverty like you would in America, because London is the number one forefront for tourism in the UK. So 9 times out of 10, when people come to the UK, the first place they go is London.
Oh, I went to Manchester too.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy like that. You know, you saw.
No, but I know what you're saying, but what I mean is, like, London specifically is that is such a place of, you know, tourists come here so frequently that they do not let that place, you know, get cluttered with anything.
Nope.
You know, they've got people always picking up rubbish. Any homeless people, the police are already escorting them away somewhere where the fucking tourists don't see them. You know, stuff like that.
I know also in Manchester, which is not London, but it's a very active, very out, up and about city. You didn't see the poverty and you know...
Because you're in the main cities. When you're in the main cities, you tend not to... When you start going on the outskirts, like where I live, you'll see it more.
Oh, no. I even went to, like, the ghetto, the hood, like, you know, looking for marijuana and whatever. And I saw the criminals and I saw, like, the estates and all that. And compared to what you see out here, it was pretty damn decent.
That's what I'm saying. This is why I say, America, fix your shit. Let us take over again.
The problem is that a lot of things that the colonizers brought, most countries in Europe have left behind a lot of mentalities that they brought when they colonized the third world. Europe is far ahead of that mentality that they had at that time. Most of, not only the U.S., most of the countries in this whole continent keep that up and alive and well.
And this is what I mean, like,
problem.
America, you're like the only place who doesn't use the metric system. Stuff like that. You don't have free healthcare. A lot of other countries, England and Canada included, all do.
The U.S. is the only place, the United States. The rest of the Americas don't use that shit neither.
That's what I'm saying. The United States of America, like America itself, no free healthcare. Everywhere else I've seen does have free healthcare.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
America, not at all. And the you have like student loan for your government, and it's fucking horrendous. I know we've gone extremely off topic here, Chris, because we were speaking initially about the Warriors, and now we're talking about how England should recolonize America. But still.
I'm just listening. I'm just here. I'm just listening to you guys. And now we're all listening.
The problem out here with the gangs now is just, for some people will say it's as crazy as it was in the 70s. I wasn't around. I was born in 74 when that shit was kind of over in the States and anywhere. And only like that, by that time, they only had it like in the West Coast, the whole gang culture. And then so they worked it back.
Best question I have to ask then, Chris. Since you ran like the 1800s, you'll remember what the 70s were like. So what was
Excuse me?
Chris is actually me.
I know, I'm just being a dick.
I don't remember what the 70s are like. It's, I was alive for like 3 years. 3 years.
So I wasn't born in the U.S. I came to the U.S. when I was 4, and that was 1978. And I do remember what the 80s was like. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, but I remember that I've always had family like up in the Bronx. And the Bronx looked like they dropped an atomic bomb and just basically leveled the whole thing. That's what it looked like. It was like
I wasn't around for any of it. I'm a 90s baby. I was born in the late 90s. But that's like grow up with any of that sort of stuff, and like I hear about it and I think Jesus Christ, it must have been fucking horrible, but then
it was
I would know.
I'm gonna tell you how pathetic my view of gang culture was. Okay, pathetic.
Did you try and join one?
No. I mean, keep in mind that I was probably raised in one of the most white bread towns in all of the New England area. You know,
you were brought up in the sort of town where people's brothers were also their fathers.
I said white bread, not inbred. White bread. White. White.
Gotta keep the bloodlines pure.
You have a, you had a lot of daddy uncles.
I wasn't exposed to much of...
It's a dunkle.
...of anything that would be considered gang culture. However, I went to an agricultural school, and this particular school, it had two, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, gangs that were, I want to say musically based gangs. So there was an entire group of these just white kids that really liked heavy metal music.
So you trying to tell me your school was basically Grease?
Grease, West Side Story. But nothing anywhere near as intimidating. Okay? Nothing anywhere near. And mind you, it's a loose fit trying to say intimidating when you're talking about either of those things. But, you know, musical gangs. Woohoo. The other group was a bunch of other kids that were just all over the place, ethnicity-wise. Well, they're the Glee Club. And they were called, and you'll probably remember this song, Slam. By Onyx?
Of course.
That's what their entire group was based around, that one song. So you had this group of heavy metal guys that called themselves the Headbangers, and this other group called Slam. And they would constantly get into fights for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Well, no, there was a reason.
Musical differences.
It was a turf war.
Well, yeah, it was a lot like the political ideology, basically it's like gang fighting, like gang war kind of out here with the liberals and the conservatives.
Gang sort of stuff over here, funny enough, is like there's a time period when it happens, like of the gang stuff, because back in the day, you could be mates with somebody, or friends, I should say, with somebody from a rival gang, but the second you went to your gang areas, your gang, for that time that you was there, you two were enemies.
Yeah,
but afterwards there'd be no ill fucking will.
It's really how it is out here too, in a lot of ways. When I grew up, gang culture, for example, in New York City where I grew up, it was very tame. You had gangs, but they were very local. You didn't have the explosion of gangs right now that has members all over the country like that. No, like in my area, we had the low lives, and the low lives were known because they were like the booster gang. They were like robbing big department stores, and they were called the low lives because they were polo religiously. Basically, hip hop obsession with polo, Ralph Lauren, started with that gang. And they would wear everything polo. They even had like drawer check, but they would check if your drawers were polo. And they had that whole thing like corner where if you were wearing something nice and you were poor, and you were wearing something nice during that time, you bought it from them. And then you had the Decepticons. Yes, like the Transformers. The Decepticons were like real thugs. Like they were the guys that sold the drugs and beat up people and did home invasions and all that crazy shit. And then you had the little crews from different streets that were the ones selling drugs. That's it. Nothing crazy where everybody was flying like with a little bandana around. Everybody was very low key about all that stuff. It was a lot of secrecy.
Well, yeah.
You knew things, but nobody ever talked about it.
Chris.
Yes.
What gang were you a part of then?
Nothing.
you weren't a part of any gang?
No. No.
I thought you would have been a part of, like, the cavemen or something.
You're really stretching there. You're really stretching there. I don't have the forehead for that.
I mean, forehead, you know?
The forehead.
That's...
He just said he didn't have the forehead.
Look at all the fur I got going on now. I mean, I could...
No, I thought you said you didn't have the forehead. Like, forehead. The beating and stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't want anybody beating my forehead either. I mean, I think we're good.
I had friends in a lot of different little cliques and gangs, but because back in those days, like every little group of people had the little specialty of things that they do, there wasn't so much rivalry except for like the drug dealers fighting each other for little corners. But gangs like that going to war, you didn't see that because each particular little group of people had their thing that they do. Like the low lives, they were the boosters. And they will rob a whole bunch of stores, then steal a truck to carry the clothes on and pull up in the hood, open up the truck and start selling clothes out of the back of that stolen truck.
Fair enough.
Okay. Dumbest scene of the entire movie.
Dumbest scene. Oh, we've moved on. We realize we never got past Cyrus's speech. We stopped at Cyrus's speech.
I've moved on because we started there and then we went really off fucking track. So I'm trying to get us back on track with the film, at least.
Right.
In pure cinematic anarchy, normal, we went off track.
I figured that one out day one.
There's not a lot of scenes that I would consider dumb in the movie.
The baseball scene for me, though, with the guy, the gang with the face paint and the baseball bats, and the one who's like fucking dancing with the baseball bat. I'm like, dude, just fucking hit him! Like
that
why are you sitting there dancing with it?
That is the pivotal scene that you see in a lot of like kung fu films or kind of like action films where you have that one guy who's got the weapons that is just kind of flipping them around, looking like he's got some kind of skill, and then the lead guy just walks up and goes, punches him in the face, and it's done.
No, prime example of that, actually, Indiana Jones movie, the guy fucking swinging the sword around.
I remember him.
Just shoots him. Yeah. I mean, nice work with your swords there, but...
sword to a gunfight.
Die now.
Dumbest scene for me was the radio announcer.
Yeah, I didn't like the radio announcer.
And let me explain to you why. Because that's something that really happened. They had somebody like a radio announcer that they either bribed or threatened to send like a coded message out and make it sound like it was a message to stop the violence. And it was basically a message for them to just a war call. And basically a whole bunch of gangs got together in a place and a whole bunch of people died after that announcement. But it's something that really did happen back in the early 70s.
And I'm actually trying to remember what it is off the top of my head right now. But there's a scene, the dumbest scene for me personally, was this one scene where they had a fight between one of the police officers and one of the police officer ended up throwing the gang member, one of the warriors, in front of the train.
Basically. Yeah, I want to know, did he die? They never explained that.
Oh, yeah, he definitely died. So he was killed because of the fact. So originally, he was not supposed to... He was supposed to be the lead guy. The guy that plays Swan, the one that goes around with Mercy for the remainder of the movie, originally... The love scene was supposed to be between Mercy and this other guy, and there was no chemistry between the two of them, and the director was constantly having issues with trying to get this guy to do what he was supposed to, and so rather than continue to work with this guy, they killed him off, and they switched it over so Mercy and Swan were the ones that were in love for the entire movie. Or not in love, but there was the love interest, or the chemistry was between them.
I didn't like Mercy for the simple fact of this, yeah. So, women are amazing, don't get me wrong, this is not a sexist thing. But it just showed that, like, right off the fucking bat, she just caused arguments for no fucking reason. Like, the Warriors could have passed through that fucking the orphan's town, or the orphans area, with no issue, but she had to open her mouth and fucking say something and start a fucking argument and then start a fight, you know what I mean?
Right. Very true.
Stupid.
Well, you see a lot of people like that, though. People that are, like, instigating. It's like the girl that walks around with their boyfriend and is like, are you going to let him talk shit about you? Are you going to sit here and let him walk all over you? Why aren't you sticking up for yourself? Why aren't you fighting with this guy?
Or, no, it's not just that. It's always are you going to let him talk to me like that or something like that? The one that makes me laugh is I saw a post on TikTok of, like, a big fuck-off dude. He goes, what would you do if I smacked your girl's ass? And the stitch of a guy with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend looks and goes, well, what would you do? And he looked at her dead in the face and went, baby, I will hand you to that man on a silver fucking platter. I am not losing my fucking life today. Bye. And walked off. I was like, fair play to him. Fair fucking play. Because I'd do the same. I'd do the fucking same. I'm sorry, but...
Well, that used to happen back in the day, though. If you went to, like, places... And it was usually, like, the muscle heads that did this. Like, you see, like, the real criminals out there, like, the real gangsters, real dudes that were doing things in the street wouldn't do shit like that. It was just, like, the guys out there who had big muscle who think, like, just because you have muscle, other people don't know how to fight. They used to do that. But back in the day, now not so much as back in the day. It's just that now it's more documented. Back in the day, everybody used to carry some kind of weapon. Just about everybody. And I saw a lot of big guys get shot, stabbed, and pummeled to death.
So my personal scene, the one that I disliked the most in the movie, was how they took down Ajax. The way that Ajax went down in that movie, I think that he deserved a little bit better than that. Even though he was kind of an asshole of a character, I think getting taken down by basically almost raping a policewoman on a bench...
Yeah.
I
think that
she wasn't a policewoman.
Yeah, she was a policewoman. She was an undercover policewoman.
Well, that's fucking shit.
Yep. So she was basically a plant. She was the person that puts herself in that situation to kind of get people, you know, arrested for exactly what she was doing, you know.
Which is fucking stupid. Why antagonize it?
Yeah,
sorry, no, but, like, why antagonize it? I understand you want to lock these people up, that's fine. But just fucking poking the bear, what happens if she actually, if, like, he did actually do it? You know what I mean? Is she fucked?
Yeah, I mean, this was...
It's possible she is.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's just stupid.
Just physically put yourself in that situation. But I mean,
and then towards the end of the movie is one of my favorite scenes, just with the three glass bottles, just the clink, clink, clink.
Oh, that's the Warriors infamous scene.
Come out to play.
So they were looking for a way to transition there. They were looking for something intimidating for that guy to say. And so while they were waiting around, they had to kind of rush the last bit of the movie. And while they were waiting around trying to figure out exactly what they wanted to get him to say, he just came up with that on the spot. He put the bottles on his fingers and he remembered a guy that used to taunt him while he was standing. He'd taunt him, like this guy would stand out on the street and taunt him while he's sitting in his house. Like, come on, come out and play, come on, you know?
Yeah.
And he remembered how intimidating that was and he said, you know, I'm going to put this right in the movie.
The grammar's
the best thing he did.
I'm glad he did. I mean, that was like the scene from the movie. Most people,
fucking quality.
If you can't remember anything from back to front, they either remember Cyrus's speech or they remember that one intimidating moment. The bottles.
That's the biggest thing I remember.
Yeah, the bottles.
It's fucking amazing, I love. Yeah, the bottles. It's the clink of the bottles.
There's a thing where. Back in those days, every gang had the little call, their own little call. And if you went through certain neighborhoods, because everything was so destructive, anything you say loud enough will carry really far. So you will say certain things, some special scream or whistle or whatever. Everybody will come out of wherever they were hiding to fight.
I think that one of my favorite scenes in the movie was the very, very end where they are... Kind of, they're all out on the beach, and Swan is basically telling this guy, you know, it's time, me and you right now, one on one. And the guy just looks at him like, are you crazy? One on one, me and you? And he's like, no. And he pulls out the gun.
Do you know what gets me as well? Is the fact how when he asked him, like, why'd you kill Cyrus? And he gives off the answer. I would have looked around the second he asked that just in case and been like, because if he saw that gang, I'd have said, "Shut up! I didn't kill Cyrus. What are you talking about? That was you guys."
I don't. I mean, how did he give himself up, though? I mean, I didn't see any of the Gramercy riffs kind of standing around during this
speech. There was all like right at the fucking back, so like they wouldn't have been on camera at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they were framed.
Right. Yeah, Luther was kind of a dumbass. He was the anarchy in that movie.
Yeah.
But he's also representative. I mean, his character is representative of a lot of like cultural travesties that have happened. People that take down these enigmatic leaders. Sorry, tripping on my tongue. First time, 30 minutes in. Beautiful. So they take down these enigmatic leaders. You know, you have your Lee Harvey Oswald that took down JFK, and you have the guy that took down Martin Luther King. You know, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, though.
The one who did Martin Luther King? I can't remember.
I'm actually happy that I cannot remember. I don't think that the name of the guy that killed Martin Luther King should be anywhere near as important as, you know, like Lee Harvey Oswald. Everybody knows that name, and I think he got what he wanted to out of it.
Let's just call that guy the U.S. government for now.
Yeah. It's more than likely that's the situation in both cases, too. You probably don't have the right guy with Lee Harvey either.
This is why this episode never gets aired, just for that one thing.
No. He was the guy that did it. The guy that killed Martin Luther King, he did it. But he didn't just woke up and decided to go out and seek this guy out and do it. This order.
No, but what I mean is now that you've mentioned the U.S. government, this episode's going to try and go on air. The FBI agent who's listening in to fucking Chris through his phone right now is probably sitting there like, that episode is never going to see the light of fucking day.
No, because we don't have any theories ourselves. I'm not pointing fingers.
But it was documented that the government had something to do with Martin Luther King. He went to court and everything.
You know? Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's entire documentaries out there that have seen the light of day about it. So.
Yeah.
Our little podcast is not going to get shut down just because we're like, that was a thing.
I'm gonna laugh if Chris gets a text off his FBI agent being like, bitch, you sure about that? I will fucking die of laughter.
I mean, they were unable to shut down in WA over fuck the police, and they tried, so
no,
relax. They can relax,
just relax a little bit. We don't have anywhere near the sway of the NWA right now, though. Yes.
Exactly. They wanted to shut us down, they
especially
could.
They're going to focus on people that have some sway. Our little podcast passes into the ether, and they're going to be like, what did they say that to 5 people? Okay, that's fine. We're good.
We don't have that sway yet.
Yet. Let's say yet. Yet.
But then again, my plan is really, as much as social justice is close to my heart, what I plan to do with media soon is try to a YouTube channel where I'm cooking healthy meals for busy guys.
I'm for that. I'm for that. I need to eat healthier. I'll watch. You got me. I'll subscribe.
So I've learned a lot of things that are very quick to make and are healthy that will help you, you know, in your journey either to lose weight or gain muscle or whatever you're trying to do or get healthy.
I already told Chris one thing he needs to start doing to help with the weight loss.
Not drink sodas.
There's one thing I hadn't said yet.
No. Cut off the sugars.
No sugar, no carbs, basically.
My downfall has always been bread.
And also, make sure whatever you find out what your calorie intake is daily,
and drop it down to like about 1,500 calories a day.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Okay. That's what helps. Dropping it down that drastically, you're going to put yourself in a thing called a calorie deficit. So you are going to feel like you're starving, even though you are eating healthy and eating the right foods. But you are going to drop the weight drastically. And the more water you drink, the weight will just turn into water weight. And then you'll end up pissing it out when you wake up every morning.
Yeah. There's certain things that you could eat early. Well, not early, but your first meal of the day. That will keep you feeling full throughout the day. That you can eat less.
Oats.
Oats is one of them.
Dried oats cooked in water. No sugar, none of that sort of stuff. If you can get sugar-free, low-fat, low-calorie syrups to put on it, then add that. That's fine. But trust me, you eat that and you will feel fucking full. And just eat a banana afterwards and you'll be like, well.
Something that helped me lose a lot of weight with oats, what I will do, make them, I will put cinnamon and cloves to give them, and it gave them a nice little taste that wasn't sweet, but you felt a little spice and it helped them.
I just put my protein in it.
I will put protein and oats. We'll give them a taste if it's vanilla or whatever.
Banana
I
like protein for the win.
You can put cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg.
Sounds good.
And Chris has already seen how much it's changed me.
Oh, yeah. He's probably seen the before and after pictures. You showed them up on the main page, didn't you?
I saw them.
Yeah. No, but I mean, Chris has seen from literally when I first joined the podcast to now.
I don't have any before and after pictures because I wouldn't take pictures below my chest back in the day. But you could see my face used to be really round. Christopher remembers because he knew me back then.
I certainly
did. And I was already losing weight, but I was big.
I'm working on it. A lot of my thing is needing to be a lot more active than I am. I have not been very active at all.
So, final thing on the film, rating out of 10.
I've seen both versions of the film. If you go with the original version, I give it like an 8.5 out of 10. Honestly. If I'm being honest about the film in general, like an 8.5 out of 10. The director's cut, I would give like a 7.5 because I didn't think it was necessary for him to do what he did with it.
Yeah, the director's cut is basically abounded on things that were already on the film that didn't need to be abounded on.
Well, no. They didn't expand much of anything. What the thing was is that he always felt this was a comic book kind of movie. And so what he did was he had certain points where he wanted comic book-like transitions. So really all he did with the movie, the director's cut, was he added comic book transitions between different scenes, which just made it feel... It took
the little
away...
planes go like this.
Yeah, I mean, it took away any... It made it look like comic book cells. Like, you know, the scenes that you'd see in a comic book, it would pull back from one cell and then go into the next one, you know, and it...
Meanwhile, in Coney Island...
Yeah, it was... I really didn't like it. I was watching it, and I just kind of got this feeling that none of the comic book transitions were necessary. It took away from any seriousness that the movie had.
I don't know what year they made it. One of my old buddies has it and still has it. And I saw a little part of it and I kind of got bored with it. Like from the first couple of scenes, I didn't see it.
Okay. Yeah, no, it wasn't done.
I rate it a 9 out of 10.
The director's cut, I just saw the beginning of it, pretty much the first couple of scenes. And when I started seeing that whole thing you mentioned,
what
the hell is this?
It wasn't worth the money that I spent on it. The only thing that I liked about the Blu-ray itself was it had all the documentaries that were related to the actual film itself. You know, it had...
What did it have?
Huh?
What did it have? What other things did it have, extras? The making of, I'm sure he had, but whatever.
Oh, dear. I would have to get up and get it real quick. It's right over here.
How dare you not have it close by?
Right. You'd think that I would have the thing in my hand while I was talking, but no. It wasn't really that much importance.
So
it had three features. Basically, they were talking about having to work with certain gangs within New York at the time that they filmed the movie. So there's actually a lot of the extras and a lot of the crew were actually gang related people because they were doing a gang movie in New York, and in a lot of areas.
It was 1979 though. Right. Probably they started filming in 78, which tells you if they did anything like that past 1975, it wasn't that dangerous to do because that was very tame by that time.
There were also certain areas where people were not allowed to wear their colors on set.
Because there were still members that were there active.
But yeah, they basically go through the beginnings, the makings of the film, working throughout the entire film, and then they have, you know, all the after-production stuff that they had to deal with. There were 4 reported killings, 3 in L.A. and 1 in Boston, that were related to the original release of the movie in theaters. And they were related to people either going to or leaving this particular movie. And the gentleman that made this movie, Mr. Hill, felt that the reason why you were seeing a lot of this uptick in violence in regards to this movie is because it spoke to a certain type of person. This particular movie, you had youths that were in gang-related scenarios. That were all going to these movies, and so you had one gang over here, you know, a couple people from this gang, and you look across the aisle, and you have people from this other gang going, oh, well, now we're both in the same place, and we're both watching the same movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so you saw sort of an uptick in violence because of that. And so Paramount even went so far as to release most of the theaters from their obligation to show the movie. And the ones that were still showing the movie, they paid for beefed up security at those events. So Paramount themselves paid for security at like the other 200 places that were still showing the film. And they did like a re-release like 2 weeks later once the violence had trickled down a little bit.
Yeah, it was too soon for it.
I don't think it was too soon so much as it just, I don't even know how to say, I don't want to sound condescending, but it just, that movie itself spoke at the time to a certain lifestyle, a certain set of people, that, and they all wanted to see the movie. You know, it spoke to them. Yeah. And the idea of Unity being shot to hell by some rogue faction, which is literally, that's the name of the group that did that, the Rogues, led by Luther. You know, you have your like, you know, Martin Luther King's, your JFK's, people that really are fighting for unity and you know, these you know,
delinquents.
Well, these real personalities, these people that could really make a change just with their words and how hard they fight. And them being taken down, it all spoke right through that fucking movie.
Remember this. This movie came out at a time when gang violence was pretty tame compared to the early 70s.
Right.
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but the biggest trick the rich have pulled is keep the poor fighting each other.
That's why I think that speech that we talked about at the head of the podcast was so prevalent. Even now, talking about everybody fighting for their own little square of land, their little piece of turf. Even as a person going out and working at a desk in corporate America, realizing that, you know, most people right now have to fight for every little thing that they keep. And you're being told that the only way to keep what you own is to make sure and look at everybody else like they're your competition.
They're your enemy.
Working together is not a thing that's really heard of. They talk about teamwork, But really what they want is they want you to fight against each other even within the team.
Well, you got to understand, every time there's a little bit of union, of unity among the lower class, through comes some leader that will make you see your neighbor as your enemy.
Right.
That's because there was a lot of unity, for example, to give you an example, when Obama became president.
Right.
Everybody that's nobody rallied around the guy. So everybody else that thought they were somebody, that looked down on the nobodies, were against them. And that's how it was, basically preparation for the orange clown we all know. We're not going to mention his name.
Of course.
And then he came, the orange clown. Making you look at, the orange clown came and made you look at your neighbor like the enemy. And so people bought into it because all this unity was basically making them look irrelevant.
Well, that's the thing, is that if people stopped, looked around long enough, and just realized that it doesn't matter where you're looking, whether it's media, music, film, everything is sort of geared towards making you sort of fight with each other. You know, you're the politics are that way. Corporations are that way. You go to your job, and it's every man for himself. You know, because you want to earn more. They've even designed it. They call it performance bonuses, but they've designed it as such. You know, you basically have to perform better than the guy next to you if you want to get a raise at the beginning of the year. All right,
you have to create that uncomfortable little resentment from your co-worker when you're supposed to be equals.
Right. They don't want you to discuss wages amongst yourselves, which is not illegal.
No.
You know, they don't want you to because of the fact that it shows where the favoritism is. You know, the pay rates will show where the favoritism is. But I digress. We're talking about the Warriors and all the things that kind of tie into it and the feelings that you get from watching a movie like this. any final thoughts on the film itself?
It was phenomenal, but it could have been better.
It was a great movie. A lot of hidden messages behind the intention of the film. A lot of great messages behind it. That probably weren't meant to happen, but I get it flew over some people's heads when the film came out because they still went out and fought each other anyway.
You know, and I think in general you have a film that was based on gang culture, based on a book on gang culture, and when you watch the movie, I think a lot of people expect, well, it's a movie about gangs. You're expecting not what you watched, which is you're watching different types of families of people.
Yeah, you know, type of dynamics.
It's a family dynamic.
Calm down, Dominic Toretto.
Say that again?
So calm down, Dominic Toretto. Bring it fair.
You got a family dynamic out of each and every one of the gangs, outside of maybe the Rogues, which were sort of more chaos than anything. But you got the feeling of close-knit families of people that were all sort of like, you know, this is my place, this is your place, blah, 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 blah.
This is my family.
And you didn't get what was the atypical Hollywood vision of gang violence at the time. There were a lot of movies that didn't paint very gangs in a decent light, really. They painted them as just criminals through and through, and not people. And this is probably one of the first movies that I can think of, anyway, that really painted the gang scene they basically painted the gang members as people, not just pure criminals through and through.
No, they just fell into a trend and ran with that, and basically, it gave them a little humanity.
I think that's what I was what I was trying to say. A little bit more concise than the way that I tried to say it.
not so many words, I will say.
So we're gonna go ahead and just slip into our station break here for some sponsorship, and we'll be right back with the second half of the podcast. And who fucking knows what? Because I didn't plan for it. All right, so thank you for listening to our sponsors, and we're going to go ahead and slip into a couple of games here. We're going to start with a game called Making Bad Situations Worse. And I'm going to start with
slipping,
the first...
Slipping, really, Chris? You had to use the word slipping.
Slipping? Slipping.
Let's slip in. Slipping.
Anyway.
Some people say I'm the perverted one.
Well, I wasn't the one that was thinking that way when I said the word slipping, so... You put it into context for us, you perv. So
slipping works.
We're going to start with the first situation. I get stuck in a room with all of my exes. Make that situation worse.
Your dad walks in and all of them say your dad's better at sex than you are.
That's much worse.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Omar? Anything for that?
I am so sorry. I was not here for like 1 minute. What was the question again?
Okay, my so apologies. The first situation that you need to make worse is I get stuck in a room with all of my exes.
My response was that his dad walks in and all of his exes literally say to him dead in the face that his dad's better at sex than he is.
Well, if I'm stuck in a room with all of my exes...
Okay. How do you make that situation worse?
They could all hold up a pregnancy test.
I know how to make the situation worse. You're stuck in a room with all of your exes and none of them remember you.
I could make it even worse. You're stuck in a room with all of your exes and all of them look at you and go, "Hey, bro."
Hey,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
This is like exes from Alabama here. What?
Exactly. No, that's what I mean. Like, you had no idea that they were related to you, and then all of a sudden, "Hey, bro, what? Huh?"
I went through my player phase. So to make that situation worse is when they all start comparing timelines. Or breaking up and starting together.
You're stuck in a room with all of your exes and all of their current boyfriends as well.
No,
that wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, because my brain, I would just be like, "Wow, babe, you downgraded to all of them."
No, I would be mad cool and just make sure each girlfriend focus on their current partner at that time. That's it.
You say with the whole fucking their current boyfriends. My brain would either say that they're downgraded, or I would look at the dude and go, "How's my sloppy seconds?" That's all I'd say.
No. The thing is that as long as I can keep everybody from talking about me, I'm good. So I'll be saying, "Oh, yeah."
Can I make it morbid?
Every time some guy, "Lucky girl, you did good this time. Nice to meet you, my guy."
I'm going to go disturbing and morbid. Are you ready? Ready? I'm stuck in a room with all of my exes. None of them are breathing, and the police are on their way.
Oh fuck! Whoa! I just got dark real quick. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Stuck in a room with all of my exes, and they're all armed.
Make this situation worse. You accidentally break your penis while riding on a motorcycle.
I don't know how you could make that worse.
On your way to a threesome.
It'll get worse.
There you go. That's how you make it worse.
No, I know how to make it worse. You've broken your penis.
A dog comes and pee on you while you're curled up on the floor in pain.
No, while you're curled up on the floor in pain, a school bus full of women flashing their breasts trying to force you to get an erection.
Yeah, that will be painful.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, that's... Yep, okay. All right.
Yeah, you got a broken dick and someone's trying to give you get you to have an erection. Nah, not fun.
Make the how do you make that situation worse? Okay, I'm gonna say this. I don't know how you make this situation worse. You accidentally drink a glass of your lover's ass sweat. How do you make that situation worse?
They could look at you and say, that wasn't mine, it was my dad's.
There's that. That wasn't mine, that was my dog's.
It's even worse. Yeah, that's even worse. And then you know,
here's how you make that situation worse. You have to ask them why there's a glass of their ass sweat just sitting out. Asking for the explanation is what makes that worse. It's like, why? Why are you doing this?
I don't think I would want to know the explanation of that ritual.
Right, that's why it's worse. You know, I don't want the explanation there at all. No. Okay.
If you're one of them ones where I'd ask why, but then as they're about to tell me, I'd just go, you know what, I don't want to know, just get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. I really don't. But of course, they will start explaining the ritual so you can understand and not be so grossed out.
There's no not being grossed out by that. You have a jar of your ass sweat.
But you know, they're always hoping. It's always so romantic.
How can you romantically present ass sweat anywhere? What?
Oh, they will try. Trust me.
Do you know how hard I worked for this?
Next.
Trust me, they will try.
Right.
And they blame you for not appreciating it, too.
Okay. Make this situation worse. You are voted least likely to succeed by all of your coworkers. How do you make that situation worse?
You get fired that day.
Yeah.
Yep. Proving them all right.
Yeah, exactly. You get that vote in, and then your boss just calls you into the office literally right afterwards after it's been announced, and you literally have to clear your desk off because you've been fired.
I'm gonna tell you how you can make that situation worse. Unfortunately, not for yourself, that you do succeed, because usually when they vote you least likely to succeed, it's because you look like you could, and they don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's because you are succeeding.
When you're likely to succeed, nobody cares enough to vote for you.
Right. That's a resentful thing that people would do, you know.
Yeah.
That means that you're important enough or they are resentful enough to say something.
If you're that much of a slacker, you don't matter enough to vote for you. Nobody knows your name. You fly under the radar based on your laziness. When you're likely to succeed is when people notice you. And they want to take you down at all costs. That's how people are. You want to make the situation worse? Prove them wrong. They'll go crazy.
Make this situation worse. You freeze to death and are now a ghost. Make that situation worse.
The frozen ghost? It becomes summer while you're out there ghosting.
nobody realizes that you died.
When you become the ghost, you end up back at your house and you find out that your wife's been sleeping with your best friend.
Literally, how about this? Literally, nobody realizes that you're dead and nobody misses you. And you're a ghost and you now realize it.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Not even that. You're a ghost. People know that you're dead, and they just don't care.
Yeah. You just materialize yourself into a room right when they're talking about you, and part of the conversation is, yeah, I sure don't miss that motherfucker.
Okay. I'm trying to think. This one's pretty bad, too.
When you realize you just died by people saying they don't miss you.
Your significant other gets a sex change without telling you.
A what?
A sex change, without telling you.
Oh.
How's about that situation worse?
telling me she always wanted me as a man too, and she wants to give me that brand new bag.
No. Make that situation worse.
Make it worse.
Your dog dies as well.
Yeah, but I mean, any situation can be made worse by the dog dying. I mean, really.
Exactly. That's the only logical way. Because that's a pretty bad situation. Okay? There's nothing wrong with the sex change. Like, fair play to you. But, like, fucking give me a heads up first. Like, damn.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the sex change. What's wrong is just popping out of the blue without me knowing about it previously. Like,
you don't tell me. There's no forewarning. I have no knowledge of this. And boom. You come home and now there's a random strange dude in my house. Like, what the fuck?
Yep.
You're trying to tell me you're my wife?
Your significant other gets a sex change and you find out when you come home one day and they're cheating on you.
I mean, by that time?
With your sister.
Yeah, that would be hurtful.
That'd be...
Not even gonna lie.
That's much worse. End up falling asleep in the front yard with no clothes on. Make that situation worse.
You wake up to your neighbors, everybody standing around you in your front yard just looking at you and laughing.
I was about to say, this is a pretty bad situation in that case. You wake up, butt ass naked, everybody's there staring at you while your neighbor's dog's licking your balls.
That's how you wake up?
Exactly, yeah, that's what wakes you up. Not that the feeling of people's eyes on you, no, the fact that there is a dog licking your testicle.
You should move from the neighborhood at that point, because they will never let you live that down.
No, hell no. No, their neighbors will look at you when you're coming out of your house, and they will pull their dog away and be like, no, you stay the fuck away from that crazy guy.
You've fallen asleep naked on the front lawn, ass first, on a sprinkler head, which is turned on for the 4:30 a.m. watering.
You what?
Yeah. Oh, just the look on your face.
Chris, you win. Fuck that. Ah.
Yeah, you do.
Make this situation worse. Your dick starts glowing in the dark after a one-night stand.
How would that be worse? Fucking hell, you have your own lightsaber.
Make it worse, is what I'm saying.
You can't. Because it's a good situation. Now, motherfucker, you have a lightsaber.
That your junk is glowing? That's a good...
Yeah, you have a fucking lightsaber.
I don't think there's anything that could make that situation even bad.
Exactly.
I said nothing in life will bother me after that happened.
If that happened to me, motherfucker, I would be there like, I never have to buy glow-in-the-dark
clothes again. I watch a lot of bad movies, so hear me out for just a moment.
The only way that situation could be made worse is that there's not a working camera around to document that moment.
Exactly.
Your dick starts glowing after a one-night stand. The following evening, your dick turns into a radioactive monster of its own and separates from your body and starts going on a killing rampage.
I would literally say, as long as you're back in time for tea, we're good.
Gives a whole new meaning to that song, Detachable Penis.
That will be an involuntary sex change right there. Right.
See? Well, see, now we're taking a good situation and making it worse.
So if that happens, I will be, oh, now my dick is gone. I guess it's time to take those hormones. Now I need titties.
Okay, next question.
Make this situation worse. You lose your left nut in a bicycle accident.
Am I a fucking cyclist? What's your name?
Lance Armstrong?
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong, yes. The bicyclist, Neil Armstrong.
Fuck off. Hey, it was the Armstrong part. Okay, fuck you.
Pedaling on the moon.
But you are my Lance Armstrong.
So, make that situation worse. You lose your left nut in a cycling accident.
You look in the mirror and realize you're Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, that will be made worse.
Didn't you already Wait, didn't he already lose a nut to cancer?
Exactly. That was his right one. That was lost his last one.
Yeah.
That was the only one I had. All I had was my left nut. Now it's gone. Fuck.
Exactly. Ah. Exactly.
All Frank, no beans.
Oh. You lose a nut during a cycling accident, but it wasn't just a regular fall. You lost it in the spokes.
Oh! Don't. Oh, I can feel that. Ah, you bitch.
Literally got torn off.
You want to know how to make the situation work? The bike wasn't a bicycle. It was a motorcycle.
Ah! Oh. Ow. Oh. No, see, if it was a regular bicycle, it would be worse because those wheels go slower. If it's a motorcycle and you get your nuts caught in the spokes.
No, because if it's a motorcycle, it's pulling more off. It's pulling more off than just your left fucking nut.
That is true.
Well, I saw a guy get his elbow cut in motorcycle spokes. Trust me, it's way worse.
Yep.
Next. All
right, last one of these. You get hit right between the eyes with a flying sausage. Make that worse.
That sausage has been cut off of a guy.
I was about to say, that sausage isn't actually a sausage. It's your penis.
It used to be part of a human.
It was your penis from the last joke.
No, it's your penis that your girlfriend ripped off because... You said the wrong thing. Or you refused to clean when she asked you to.
They cut your thing off and slap you with it.
Oh. No.
You'll be crying?
Wait, no. I was proud of that.
See, I went tinted. I was just going to say it was a frozen sausage.
Sorry, what?
I went timid. I was just going to say it was a frozen sausage.
Nah.
Get hit between the
eyes.
We're
going full gore.
But you guys went. You went detached penis. Yes, we have a lot.
We're going full blood and gore.
You guys went with the Lorena Bobbitt. You know.
Yo.
Somebody threw your own dick at you. That's.
No, see,
and it happens for some guys.
10 times worse. And just like the horrifying part of it is the penis is it's a detached penis that hit you in between the eyes. The scariest part. And what makes it worse is it's from a child, and unfortunately that child's penis is bigger than yours.
Yeah. Especially if you're one of those guys that's all they got going on for them.
Child penis.
Well, who are you now?
Where, okay, I'm going to move on to something else. Anyway.
I don't
want to
talk about this no more.
No. It got scary real fast, didn't it?
Nope. Okay.
That made the situation worse, didn't it, Chris?
Just a little. Just a little.
It's the aim of the game.
All right. So we're moving on to the game of nasty things. And this is just basically...
Wait, isn't nasty thing a child penis?
Yes, that's nasty. we're going to start with the first question here. Things that you wish came out of your nipples.
Kool-Aid
coming out of your nipples.
Not just any Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid.
Huh. I mean, I don't have anything particular that I wish came out of my string cheese. Or silly string.
Oh, you should have said whiskey.
Whiskey? How much did I drink last night? Drank so much it's coming out of my fucking nipples.
Exactly.
I am lactating whiskey right now.
My grandpa used to have this joke about this guy that saw a genie, and one of the wishes was that he's able to piss rum.
Oh.
And the lady said, wait, let me get a cup. I said, no, you got to get it straight from the bottle.
Oh. You know, though, pissing rum, just alcohol coming out of your urethra, oh my God, that would fucking hurt.
No, but if your body's used to it, like if you've been doing it forever, your body's used to it.
There's a cauterized urethra, yeah, just, whew. I don't want that, no, I'm good. Nipples, fine. Pissing, no.
I am sure being able to piss rum, if not hurting, will come with the wish, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think part of being able is the fact that it won't hurt.
That's fair.
So what would you have come out of your nipples then, Omar?
Huh?
What would you have come out of your nipples? Obviously, I said red Kool-Aid. Chris has said string cheese or silly string. What about you?
Bailey's.
Good man.
The only reason why I said silly string is just the connotations at a party. Just walk up to somebody randomly, lift your shirt.
Bailey's and hopefully Bailey's. Very cold.
Cold Bailey's.
Well, I think that depends on your body temperature.
Nothing like Bailey's for your coffee.
Just ice your nipples beforehand.
Just getting a really cold shower to lower your body temperature and then do it.
No, just ice your nipples beforehand. Comes out. Just ice.
Ice your nipples beforehand.
All right. Things that are hard.
My penis.
I knew you weren't going to... That's the first thing that was going to come out of your mouth was your penis.
or trying to explain directions to a woman.
Things that are hard? I can't say that. I actually, my woman has more direction sense than I do. I get lost easily. All right. Just... Wood.
Wood? What, morning wood?
Yeah, I guess. Well, wood in general. This one should have been a lot more filthy than it ended up being.
It should have been. Omar?
3 days old bread.
That's a crouton.
True.
Not if it's a baguette. If it's a baguette, that's a baseball bat.
I was about to say, that's a lethal weapon.
Hey, have you ever been hit with a baguette? Oh my god. That's been out too long?
That's a lethal weapon.
What is it about that bread that just turns it into like a fucking piece of concrete after like 2 days?
I have no clue.
They make it with more water, less eggs, less of everything that's not water that will make it soft longer. That's the only reason. I only know that because my grandfather was a baker.
Things that really got Adam and Eve not kicked out of Eden.
They really? There was no other humans, so they started having sex with animals. They made an orgy and started having sex with animals.
They've been hanging around the burning bush for too long.
I was going to say sodomy.
What the fuck?
They use the snake.
As a condom?
The snake is a condom. Yeah, there you go. Made us eat the apple. Now we're going to use you as a condom.
If that's the case, I feel really bad for Adam.
There was a story about an orgy in the jungle. Kind of went like that. The lion decides one day we're going to really party today. We're going to have an orgy at the jungle. So everybody was with everybody. All the animals was with other animals. But he got super offended because he saw an elephant with a condom. And he said, wait, we're all clean animals in here. Why are you wearing a condom? He said, no. That's the snake giving me a blowjob.
All right. Things that women hate during oral sex.
Biting.
Things that women hate?
That women hate during oral sex.
You to them or them to you?
I guess it could go either way.
So in regards to you to them, biting.
Forget the girl's name?
Say some other girl's name.
Say some other girl's name.
Say her mother's name.
Ah. Farting.
In terms of them giving you oral sex, urination.
I guess that depends on the girl.
No, most women tend to avoid that one, though.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. Yeah. There are a few kind of...
I've never met a girl who said piss in my mouth.
I don't run in those circles. Thankfully.
I don't think anybody does.
You avoid that little crowd.
No. It's like... That's usually the end of the date right there. Like, that's what would I hate during oral sex? Piss in my mouth. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
The end of the date was if the girl will say, what's your opinion on getting pegged?
Check. Can I get the fuck out of my house? Like,
I'll be like, check.
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
What are your views on getting pegged? Very casually, like it's all...
Like something you bring up in a normal conversation. Like, no,
That's,
the fuck did you just say? Check, please.
I am sorry. That is not something you bring up in a normal conversation, let alone with somebody's teeth wrapped around your dick. Thank you very much. Answer that question very carefully. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Answer that question.
I didn't know that was going to be a question. Ooh. things.
No,
that give...
the moment while she's at it. So, what are your views on this? And
just extra conversation.
You messed it up. And there's not a lot of things that could ruin it for a man. That will ruin it for me.
Your views on... Yeah, like if they start getting like extra political or whatever while you're in the middle of oral, you know,
That wouldn't ruin it for me.
No?
Nah.
Even if you realized that they were way on the other side of the fence from what you were thinking?
Oh, yeah, that would ruin it for me.
like if a white girl was giving you head and she's like, what's your thoughts on the KKK? I'm like, get the fuck out. Bye. Maybe
if she's of that complexion, it will be a problem.
Why is this like even being brought up?
It's a blind girl as well. Like it is a blind girl doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking to introduce you to my father, and, well, I need to know about this beforehand. How do you feel? What? He wears the hood around the house. Oh, God. Okay, leave. Go.
Your father? Well, here are my views. Your father will like me as much as I would like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Next, things that give you nightmares. Turning on the TV to watch anything relating to politics right now.
The thought of Chris naked.
That gives me nightmares.
No, something that gives me nightmares, truthfully, fucking centipedes.
Centipedes?
Fuck centipedes. Those creatures, man. I hate them. Ugh.
They are nasty creatures.
I have a couple of exes that gave me nightmares.
One thing that gave me nightmares when I was younger, and I wasn't even a young kid. I was in my teens, in my mid-teens, was when I first saw Candyman. I couldn't look at a mirror for a few weeks.
For me, that was Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street, the first film, that whole scene where... Johnny Depp was like dragged up the wall and
see that didn't bother me. The bit that got me was the girl in the fly box. Oh. Her skin start ripping off and then she becomes a little fly. I could not sleep for like a solid month after that. I was fucking struggling.
I did have one nightmare of a show. I don't know if you guys seen the show Luther.
Yes, yes.
I haven't seen it. But I know of it.
You know, I usually... That girl that was like the little serial killer chick with the redhead. I used to have a crush on that girl prior to that show. When I saw that show, that same night I saw that episode where she killed her parents, her grandparents, whatever. That gave me a nightmare.
Oh. Because basically your crush turned into a murderer. They were so like
proud of that.
Oh. Yeah, I could see how that would give you a nightmare.
So... And she's a great actress, but every time I see her in a movie, I remember that. I guess that's how great of an actress she is.
Well, a lot of people have those roles where you watch them and they're synonymous for a particular role, and it kind of screws them over. Like, nobody is ever going to look at, Robert Pattinson and see fucking Batman. They're going to see the shiny vampire, you know?
See, for me, it's like Keanu Reeves. Some people see Neo. I personally see, you know, Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I see when I, and that makes it tough for me to see him in some more serious roles because I'm always just waiting for him to break out and he had.
When I saw him in the Matrix for the first time, I said to my dad,
"That might have been like my only issue with John Wick."
I love John Wick. Don't get me wrong, it's an amazing film, and
Neo with guns.
Right.
Well, Matrix they had guns,
but. John Wick was more like gun oriented than Neo.
Didn't Neo mostly just fight with his hands though, not with guns?
Not in the first movie.
They have guns and they have everything in the first one.
The first movie it was mainly guns until the very last fight.
Okay.
And then every movie after that it was all hand to hand combat for Neo.
Last question from the Game of Nasty Things. Things you would title an X-rated version of a Disney film.
What was that?
Things you would name an X-rated version of a Disney film.
Aladdin.
Poker Hot Ass.
Aladdin.
I don't know. There's not a lot of places you can go for that.
Aladdin will be like a gay porn film.
Oh, good lord.
The little nurse lady.
Aladdin. Oh, my God. What did you say?
The little nurse lady.
There you go.
Beauty and the Bestiality.
Oh, fucking hell, Chris. Wow.
I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Just a little.
And the Bestiality.
Snow White and the Seven Whores.
Starring Mr. Ed.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, you don't even have to go with Snow White. Just come White and the Seven Dwarves.
There you go.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of other Disney movies you could really do that to. There's not a lot.
It would be the Pretty Gustler and the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh. 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 There's not a lot of Disney movies that you can really give...
No, because a lot of them nowadays have been like one word titled.
Right, like Brave. Like, how do you do that?
Brave them cheeks.
Brave. Ravage.
Right. Rapunzel. Yeah,
no, Rapunzel.
No, that was called Tangled.
I was gonna say that's the only way you can go with that, and that's not really.
Some people have their.
They have their fantasies.
I'm not condoning it by no means, by the way, but some people have the little kinks.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Trying to think, is there any other one?
Oh, there's plenty.
Here's another gay one for you. Instead of Hercules, Herc on his knees.
What was that?
Instead of Hercules, Herc on his knees.
Oh, wow.
I'm just trying to think.
That's wrong.
There is. There's a lot of one-word Disney movies. Damn. Toy Story can just be left alone.
What? How about Mary Poppins Does New York?
Or Poppin' Mary.
There you
go.
No,
Poppin' Mary in New York.
Poppin' Mary will work anywhere. They should make like a movie series of it. Poppin' Mary in London, Poppin' Mary in Dallas, Poppin' Mary in California, Poppin' Mary in Paris. Like the Emmanuel movies.
Right. I was just thinking... Except
this is a plot.
I was just thinking like Debbie Does Dallas.
One more.
You got to do one more because this one, we need one more.
Just one more what? Oh, one more question? Mm-hmm. What? One more? Okay.
Yeah.
Things that are worst sins... Oh, things that are the worst sins that you can think of.
Bestiality.
Yeah, right. Turning Disney movie into a bestiality porn? That's that's a pretty bad sin right there.
Yeah. Chris getting naked.
Again, it gives me nightmares, so I
guess.
A real sin, let's be honest. And Omar, I think, will agree with me on this one. Telling your grandma her cooking ain't shit.
Oh.
That's not a sin. That's suicide.
That's a sin and suicide.
It is a bad thing that the sin is suicide.
Yeah.
Right.
Suicide by grandma.
You say something like that, you better have the doctor standing next to you going, time of death is...
At the ready.
Just have the
fucking morgues outside.
Yeah. Have the wagon ready. You're going home in a meat bag. That's what you're going home in.
Fuck off. You ain't going home. You're going to the grave right fucking down the road.
You don't even get a body bag. You're going home in Ziploc bags. Okay.
My grandma was a great cook to where she probably wouldn't get sentimental about it. But she was a very funny lady and very practical joker. Well, she will do some shit like never feed you again. If you go to a family function, you wouldn't have her food. She will make sure you don't.
Yeah, she'll be spiteful.
So don't worry. She'll
do it. Yeah, being petty.
You will never have to worry about eating that again.
Oh, wait, no, not you.
So, oh, grandma made her peach cobbler. Yeah,
not that one.
You ain't touching that one. You ain't fucking eating it.
And she'll be nice to you just for you to think you're going to have her food again.
I've got
so she'll say no.
I've got one of the worst sins I've ever seen, turning pumpkins into presidents.
Yeah.
That's America for you.
Fuck the fairy godmother that did that. That's all I'm saying.
Fairy the fairy godmother that did that must have been higher than a motherfucker.
The fairy clan's mother. That's if that's not God's practical joke on...
On humanity in general?
I don't know what is.
That is like America saying, we are the best, now let me show you our worst.
Pretty much.
There is no reason at this particular point that any American should be going, we're number one. No. No. You have to work for that again, assholes. After what you just did, we have to work for it again.
My real thing with that is, and I tell people all the time, there's such a thing as toxic patriotism. Because there's nothing more patriotic than recognizing the problems in your own country and trying to, you know, want better for it. That ignorant speech of this is a great country and if you don't like it, leave. Yeah, it's great for you. So what about me? Fuck me then? Because it's great for you and I shouldn't have a say about it?
That's exactly how people think, though. It's great for me. I'm doing fine. So if you don't like it, leave. It's like looking at somebody and saying, your problem doesn't matter. Everything's fine where I am. Your problem isn't shit. That's what they're saying by doing that.
Yeah. Basically, because it's not their problem, then there's not a problem. You're the problem for complaining about it.
And that's a problem unto itself, which is a fantastic subject for a tea time episode.
Definitely.
We haven't done that in a while. Toxic patriotism.
Hey, blame Miss B. Blame Miss B.
Eh, you really can't blame Miss B. Miss B's been going through some stuff.
No, I know.
We all have our... He's been going through her stuff. I've been going through yard work. It happens.
I've been going through whores what?
Yard work.
Chris's face.
Nice. Oh. With that.
That's really what I've been going through. Home improvement.
I want to go ahead and just thank everybody for sitting through another episode of Cinematic Anarchy and our ADHD approach to entertainment reviews.
Nine times out of ten, when you watch our podcast about a specific film, you're not going to get any information about that film.
You get about seven films and a little bit of the film we're supposed to be talking about.
Pretty much. You can listen to us on...
seven films and 14 newscasts.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Anchor, pretty much anywhere where podcasts are available. We are hoping to get up on both YouTube and Twitch to get some decent content out there as well. We do have our pages, but nothing there. And please, like, subscribe, visit our Facebook page. Whatever you got to do, just get us out there. Please, for the love of God.
Wrong, go hit that button.
Go hit that button.
Share our links when you send them nudes. It works. It gets us out there.
Yeah. We're not those people. Don't press the red button. Press the fucking button. Press the button. Fucking press it.